Can we, with a wisdom assembly, welcome my friend and my brother, Prophet Harlan Ross, all the way from Glasgow, Scotland, the husband of one wife, Margot, the father of Sarah. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated in this amazing church, Wisdom Assembly. There's a lot of wisdom swishing around this sanctuary. And praise God for the family spirit that's over the fellowship. Praise God for this weekend together, because I believe the Holy Spirit has a key role in the lives of believers. That's training, instructing, and teaching the saints of God. The Holy Spirit brings the power of God, and for that we are so grateful. The Holy Spirit has his own unique way of glorifying Jesus, and for that we are truly grateful. We're coming out of another busy week. Many of you will have been working in factories and offices, others at school and college, and of course, all the mamas in the congregation raising children. Life always has events that need taking care of, things to do, things to consider, problems to push through. Living on earth is not always easy. The Lord did not promise you and I an easy life. He promised us a life of overcoming. And when you walk in the wisdom of God, you're almost there. The wisdom of God is the principal thing. And when we move into the wisdom of God, we overcome. What a joy to be reconnected to Pastor Cal and his dear wife, Maury. Seeing the children and looking at this phenomenal facility. This is quite a place. Pastor Cal took me on a tour before the service began, and you have great scope for expansion. Amen. There's nothing you cannot do here. Amen. You can be a Bible training center, a mission center, plant another couple of churches downstairs. Nobody would even notice they were there. This is a phenomenal facility that the Lord has blessed you with. Let me see your hand if you were part of Wisdom Assembly in my previous visits. Let me see your hands. Lots of hands going up all over the place. Thank you. Bless you. Good to be back. Good to see your hands waving in the air. And if this is the first time we're getting together, it's lovely to meet you. Tonight, as we begin our 2 days together, we're going to look at the theme, a breakthrough spirit. I know Pastor Cal's heart enough to understand this is a man that wants to see the Holy Spirit break through in our generation, in the house of God, but beyond that in Kansas City and across the United States of America. I believe the church presently is in between the last move of the Holy Spirit and the next move of the Holy Spirit. The last move was a combination of the Pentecostal movement blending into the charismatic movement in the 1960s and the 1970s. Azusa Street outpouring began in 1907, and I believe that God's work through that vehicle he had built, the Pentecostal and charismatic movement, was designed to last 100 years. And I believe it came to an end in the year 2007. It doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit is no longer working in the church. I believe this is a time of the Holy Spirit working in depth in you and I for future purposes. We are always being prepared for something. I believe the Holy Spirit is working in the depths of who we are for the spiritual atmosphere. The spiritual atmosphere is rich for a new move of God. There are hungry believers all over the United States of America, spread across Kansas City, that are in an internal struggle. On the one hand, knowing what it means to be satisfied and fulfilled in God, and on the other hand, totally desperate for God. I have been a Christian now 36 years. Come July the 8th of this year, 36 years. The Lord saved me from a background of alcoholism. I lived a deeply destructive life. And I was snatched out of the hands of the enemy and rescued and restored. I've never touched a drop of alcohol in almost 36 years. The Lord has done many great things in my life. He's given me experiences of life, a divine calling that's taking me to the four corners of the globe, a family, a high-level education. I could go on and on about all the good things the Lord has given me. And I'm fulfilled. I'm satisfied. Yet there is within me a deep desperation for God at this hour. For the purposes and plans of God are made manifest in every generation. I've looked at previous moves of the Holy Spirit, whether through the charismatic or Pentecostal movement, the holiness movement, before that the Protestant movement. And if we go through different chapters of church history, even in the Dark Ages, and way back to the church in the book of Acts, the church of the New Testament, there is something of a prophetic blueprint we can learn from in terms of how God works through the church and how God works on the earth. A breakthrough spirit isn't something that will necessarily make us feel warm and fuzzy. A breakthrough spirit is not designed to give us another charismatic experience. A breakthrough spirit is a combination of a warring and pioneering anointing. A warring and pioneering anointing. A breakthrough spirit carries within it the next phase of God revealing his purpose on the earth. Hence the need for that anointing to be a warring anointing. For when God moves through the church, it forces the enemy to reveal himself. When the Holy Spirit breaks through in their individual lives, it causes the enemy to reveal himself. That's why the first phase of moving into a breakthrough spirit is all about warfare. But contained within the breakthrough spirit, there's a strong warring component that enables you and I to overcome. A breakthrough spirit has built within it and is designed to pioneer. The Pentecostal movement was a pioneering movement. The charismatic movement was a pioneering expression of the Holy Spirit. And you and I have been born into a certain time and place. I was born in Scotland in 1959, almost 60 years ago. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. I remember being 17, and now I'm almost 60. Where have the years gone? A lot more behind me than ahead of me, but that's okay. That's okay. Dying isn't such a bad thing. I'm believing I will be alive for a lot longer. I'm not in any hurry to check out. But you and I are restricted in some ways to thinking about our experience with God within our own timeline, within our own personal history. In reality, we were born into this world. And then at a later stage, we were born again into the kingdom of heaven. But in a wider sense, God was already working through the church before we were born, and he will continue to work through the church after we pass away. We were all born again into the kingdom of heaven and found the church that was established in the things of the Holy Spirit, presiding over the earth. Presiding over the church is our Jesus. Our Jesus, who is both judge and ruler. Acts 10:42. And this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and dead. It doesn't take long to focus on Jesus once again. Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus, the Alpha and Omega. And we do honor at every opportunity the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the original territorial spirit. We tend to think of territorial spirits as demonic powers and principalities assigned to parts of the earth by our adversary. Who did the enemy imitate in the first place? Who did he take? The enemy has never created anything in his life. He's a counterfeit. Jesus is the original territorial spirit. He laid out Israel's landmass and scope of operation. He designated the 12 tribes of Israel a portion of territory. He gave the early church a mandate to go into all the world. And the early church was crazy enough to believe that, and they turned the world of their time upside down for the purposes of the kingdom. We all know that this world is full of crisis and chaos. However, our mother world, the kingdom of heaven, is tightly disciplined and ordered. When heaven moves in our lives, it's to bring divine order to the earth and divine purpose to the earth. Hence, we can pose the question tonight, where is your territory? Where is my territory? This is an awesome church with a phenomenal facility. God has given you territory in the city of Kansas City, this building. But what's the purpose of having this building. Ask the Lord, what is your territory around Kansas City and beyond? Ask the Lord personally, what is your territory? What is God wanting to give you in the way of housing or someone to reach for the gospel, a career that God has chosen to reach and influence others through? When the Lord replies and you know that you are handling the word of the Lord, that Almighty God has spoken beyond all shadow of a doubt, claim that territory in the Spirit. God gives us territory in the Spirit. It's like God shares his heart with our hearts, that we reach out to the heart of God and we say, thank you, Lord, you've given me this territory, this place. Then we go and claim it in the natural. Anointing something with oil is a very powerful way of staking your claim. Staking your claim. Whether it's a house that God has promised you, a people group within Kansas City he has promised to impact, even the nation. If God gives you a missionary thrust, for a certain nation, you can receive that nation into your spirit. And when the time is right, go to that nation and anoint it with oil in the name of Jesus. So we think frequently, Lord, where are you working? Where are you working in my life? Where are you working in the city? Where are you working in the church? Tonight I'm looking at different ages and stages. There could be prophets in this church tonight, apostles, pastors, missionaries, millionaire businessmen, politicians, men and women that will work in factory floors and offices, all being an expression of the Holy Spirit in their own context. We should always be putting that question before the Lord. Lord, where are you working? The Lord may say, I'm working and doing very deep things in your life at this hour. So just trust me. Trust me. He may say, I'm working in a congressman's heart that represents your district. Pray for him. Pray for his family. Instead of making up things to do and asking God to bless that, we can live in the sure certainty of co-laboring with the Lord as one or a community that are joint heirs with Christ. When we think missions, when we think divine calling, take advantage of the generosity of God. He's Jehovah Jireh, not Jehovah Stingy. Jehovah Jireh. Romans 8, 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things. We already have the Son, and the Lord sent his Son to die for you and I. He delivered him up for us all. When it comes to life and godliness, it's the desire of God to freely give us all things. Freely give us all things. So we ponder this. We consider this. I know tonight this is a church with a strong prophetic blueprint. Your pastor is highly prophetic. You are too. You tend to catch whatever your pastor's carrying. You catch his heart, his vision, his various anointings. So ultimately, whatever the prophetic blueprint is for Wisdom Assembly, will carry with it a set of kingdom pragmatics. I said earlier, God is Jehovah Jireh, not Jehovah Stingy. In other ways, God is Jehovah Pragmatic. He's not religious. Praise God. Praise God. And praise God. The problem with religion, the overarching problem with religion, is simply this, that God is not that into it. We live in a world that's becoming increasingly religious. Secular humanism is another religion with core beliefs and anti-faith that others will defend to the death. There's lots of religion in the world, but our God is simply not that into religion. We ponder that. And we reflect on the very nature of a breakthrough spirit. You've broken through in your spirit before. Pastor Cal and his different geographical shifts has broken through in his spirit, knowing I must go to London, I must go to America, I must plant a church, Wisdom Assembly. This breakthrough spirit is a pioneering spirit. It's designed to pioneer and be a prototype spirit. When we break through, we're not the finished article. It's prototype. The Model T Ford car driving around America's roads about 100 years ago was one of the wonders of its age. But it broke down all the time. It was clunky, clunky, junky, junky. It was massively expensive, but it put Americans on the road, driving at the breathtaking speed of 20, 25 miles per hour. This was considered radical and even dangerous. Can human beings travel at that speed in a car and still be safe? Look at the cars we drive in today. The automobile has come a long way in the last 100 years. Now they're like computers on four wheels, much more reliable, start in all weathers, and give us great value for money. In so many ways, when you break through, when the fellowship breaks through, it's like a prototype spirit to begin with. And that's often identified in modern church language as revival. Whether it's across Wisdom Assembly or whether it's in your own personal life. Revival is a kind of slightly awkward word that needs a lot of unpacking and defined biblically, defined through the language of the Holy Spirit. But revival from God's perspective is a starting place. It's a starting place. It's not an outcome. I'm believing for fresh breakthrough in my own life. I spent some time today praying in my hotel room about the evolving shifts in God's call in my life. I know that whenever I break through again, it will be a starting place, not an outcome. Ultimately, God's goal is domination of the enemy in Kansas City. The power of breakthrough in spirit, whether individually or collectively, is kingdom presence. Kingdom presence on our lives. Not just a kingdom presence that gives us a warm and fuzzy feeling, but a kingdom presence that changes anybody that we come in contact with. It's the power of breakthrough. The church in the book of Acts had a massive breakthrough in the upper room, and it was a breakthrough spirit, unbeknown to the disciples in the upper room. It was a pioneering and prototype spirit. And there, the Apostle Peter preached the first sermon of the church, and he didn't have a New Testament. But 3,000 people were born again that very day. The Lord, over the centuries, destroys the works of the enemy in the nations and cities of the earth, person by person, heart by heart, life by life, until families, communities, cities, nations, and the international scene is impacted by a work of God. However, kingdom presence equates with wider kingdom anointing for your city and for other churches. A breakthrough spirit was never designed to be for an in-house community only. Typically, if you break through as the first prototype in Kansas City, for a time and a season, you will draw other people to you. But in God's timing and through his ways, other churches, other individuals have a way of breaking through too. And it means there's a wider kingdom presence across the city of Kansas. We're in a time where the Holy Spirit is removing a lot of words from a Christian vocabulary. Even good biblical words have a way of, it's almost like a religious connotation being attached to what is good biblical words. The word joy has a certain religious connotation. There are other words of that category. Church definitely has a certain religious connotation. The word church has become fossilized in the perception of many believers and wider society. I believe we are being reimagined right now in the heart and mind of God. Reimagined that a new concept for church in the 21st century would be a company of people, a company of God's people, a congregation, a community, ultimately a company of friends. What a friend we have in Jesus. All the griefs and sins to bear. Oh, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And so we settle those thoughts in our minds. Because we are friends of Jesus, friends with Jesus, we can enjoy a very deep and rich friendship together. A productive and fruitful friendship together. This is an amazing fellowship. You've gone on a journey, ups and downs and everything in between. That's church life. Just get used to it. However, You have known what it means to break through in your spirit historically. You've known what it means to break through in your spirit as a church. When the Lord said to you, this building is your territory. Now go and claim it. You're here. You're living in a real life facility that the Lord has given to you. So as you consider your journey in between two moves of God, I have a question for you regarding the anointing within Wisdom Assembly. Every church needs to go through a spiritual audit. If you're in business, you know that your accounts have to be audited by a chartered accountant, I believe, once a year. To have credible accounting practice is very important in the practice of business and in the eyes of government, national and local level. However, we need to audit our own lives and the collective life of the church. We need to be able to ask questions and come up with informed answers. The key question is, what is the depth of the river of the anointing within Wisdom Assembly? What is your depth? What's happening in the river of life within Wisdom Assembly? Then live up to the level of your anointing. Once it's defined, do not give up ground. Hold fast to that territory and anointing that God has given you in the Spirit. There are a number of very important markers that can help us in our journey as we move towards a breakthrough spirit. One, and it's obvious, in some ways it's like our free money. Pray for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. I did this today in my hotel room. Ephesians 5:18 instructs us to be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. God's more keen to fill us with the Spirit than we are to receive it. Pray that every morning. Pray that at different points during the day. Pray this collectively as a church, when you gather as a congregation or within your subgroups. Number two, develop a proactive spirit. Develop a proactive spirit. We are a generation of believers that have come to understand that we are created as a tripart being, spirit, soul, and body. 100 years ago, across the body of Christ, it was generally considered we were soul and body. We would say, Lord, save souls. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. In reality, God did not save our souls. He saved our spirits and is renewing our souls. Renewing our souls with truth. We're now beginning to understand that as our minds and emotions can be proactive and can plan ahead and decide ahead what we are going to do mentally or emotionally. If you think of a vacation coming up in a luxury resort on the west coast of America, then your emotions are proactive there. joy in advance, a down payment on the emotional happiness of vacation. Also, we can be proactive in our thoughts. Some of you will be planning to go to college or university. Others will be proactive in terms of deciding where they would like their career to go, or even in the adding to family. It's all well and good to be proactive in our minds, in our emotions, within our souls. But as a 21st century community of Christians, we're learning to get in touch with our spirits. Paul, in Romans chapter 1, in the New American Standard Bible, declared he was a bondservant of Christ. He also declared that he served Christ out of his spirit, from his spirit. This reality was not restricted to Paul or the first century church. I put to you a question tonight that's a starting point. Learn about your spirit and how it functions, and then be proactive. I instruct my spirit man frequently to move towards the faith of Christ Jesus within it. My spirit man contains deity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are alive and well in my born-again spirit. I can't make God do anything in my life, but I can instruct my spirit man to move towards the Holy Spirit, to be led by the Holy Spirit. I can instruct my spirit man to check in with Christ Jesus, the Alpha and Omega, who knows the very end from the beginning in every life circumstance that I have to deal with. So as a church, as you discover vision, as you discover the reasons why God has given you this amazing facility, be proactive in your spirit. Move the eyes and ears of your spirit. Instruct the eyes and ears of your spirit to be filled with the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Instruct your spirit to move towards the grace of supply from God, the grace of vision from God. It means we're proactive. It means we're always seeking God, seeking the Word, seeking the things of that are above, not the things of the earth. Number three, and we're slowly coming to the end of this message. Are we all doing okay out there? In a good place? Praise the Lord. I'm in a good place. Not sure about that guy, but I'm in a good place. Praise the Lord. I think I was a lot younger when that photograph was taken. Less grey hair for a start, and more forehead. Now my forehead, well, less forehead. Now I'm growing a forehead. Amen. Hi. How am I doing? You want me to shut my face? Okay. No worries. See you later. Amen. Number three. Pursue us, Holy Spirit, until we surrender. What a prayer. Pursue me, Holy Spirit, until I surrender. Pursue us as Wisdom Assembly, Holy Spirit, until we surrender. Ephesians 4:13 promises a surrendering people the fullness of Christ, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Personally, I would be quite happy with 10% of Christ. I would go, what a deal. Yeah, let's do it, Lord. 50%, and I would be very jolly indeed. But as the Holy Spirit pursues us, He's leading you and I to the stature of the fullness of Christ, the stature of the fullness of Christ. The surrendering process is, as far as I can see, the heart of discipleship. It's in the Spirit-led process of the Lord breaking independence in our soul, including our selfishness and pursuit of our own happiness package, that takes us to a place of surrendering to the Lord and beginning to move in His purposes for our lives, beginning to move into His strength rather than our own strength. Finally, what will the Holy Spirit pursue us with? He will pursue us with wisdom and revelation, holiness, righteousness, and open up our spiritual eyes and ears. This is a pattern for a breakthrough spirit. This is a pattern the Holy Spirit has engaged within over the centuries. There was a German professor and priest with attitude called Martin Luther that went through a massive crisis of faith. And when the Holy Spirit broke through in his spirit, so the message of faith by grace was restored to the church. The message of Scripture being the only authority, the only authority for the revelation of God, was established to the church. And so that pattern has stayed in place throughout the ages. When we started to break through in our spirits, moving towards salvation, there was a time we broke through and understood that Jesus was the Son of God, had died for our sins, and He wanted us to be His very own. So is a generation in waiting. My prayer is, you're a hearing people. You're hearing what the Spirit of God is saying within the fellowship, week after week after week after week, that you are hearing what the Holy Spirit is saying to you personally in your own walk with God, that you're learning by grace and that you are growing in grace.